Good morning. My name's Scott Lee. I'm alcoholic. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. If there are any adults in the room, if you help everybody else find a seat, please, we'd appreciate it. And I'd like to open with something I think you may find unusual. I was in one of the gated communities a number of years ago. That's a jail, you know. And they opened with a serenity prayer, and it sounded like an invitation to a fight. God, grant me the serenity. They're all suffering from testosterone poisoning. And I thought, I can't listen to them do that to the Lord's Prayer, so I asked them to whisper it. So I'm going to ask you to do that here in a few moments. I like to open anything I do with a quotation from Lois Wilson, who was asked one time what she did in the moment of silence, and she said, I invite God to the meeting. That's not that I don't believe God's here. I do believe that. But I get a special gift when I stop and honor that presence. So in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to do that, to invite God to the meeting. If you don't have a God, if you get here like I did, afraid there might be a God, you're trying to hide from him, if that's your situation, let me recommend you borrow my God. I recommend him very highly. He's got a great sense of humor, as you may have noticed as they were passing out things coming through the door. And you can address him as the God of Scott's limited understanding, because that's the truth. So what we'll do now is let's each in our own way invite God to this meeting. And then we will very slowly, I know there are Yankees here, and I can't pray as fast as the Yankees do. And so we will slowly whisper the serenity prayer. Let's have a few moments and invite God to the meeting. Serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. For me, that's a very different experience. It changes it from a ritual back into a prayer. I hope that didn't offend anyone. I would like to thank Ben, who came in here carrying a cup of coffee, by the way, this morning. I just go and throw him right out onto the bus for making all of this possible for me to come. I'm very grateful to be here, and I'd like to thank Jeremiah, my host, who has done a fine job. Those are the guys that took the credit. I'd also like to thank the people that actually made this thing work. The committee and everyone. I appreciate it very much. I'm going to give you a little history on what we call the love meditation. In 1989, three men I sponsor and myself went to Fall Creek Falls State Park, which some of you are familiar with, between here and Nashville, for a weekend of prayer and meditation. We did fish once, but we didn't interact with anyone. It was just the four of us from a Thursday night till Sunday morning. And Saturday night, we're sitting in this beautiful, beautiful cabin, and the only light is from this fireplace. And we were talking about a woman in our home group who'd just come out of a coma. And she said that while she was in the coma, she could feel the love and the prayers being sent to her. And what we now call the love meditation, which I'm going to share with you this morning, was literally born at that time. It literally, we didn't write it, we didn't make it up, it arrived. My mental image is a column of love about the size of the top of my head. Mine is silver. It shimmers. It comes down through the top of my head. It goes out my nose, my mouth, and my chest. And I send it this morning prior to leaving my bed. I did a love meditation. And among other things, I filled this room with love. I sent love to some people I know that are having a hard time right now. I sent love to some places on planet Earth where there's fighting and suffering. I sent love to individuals I know that are having a hard time and a couple that are close to the transition. And I sent them love for a gentle transition to the other side. I sent love to each of the men that I sponsor. I sent love to each of my family members. And I opened my morning every day with it. I became convinced a long time ago that serving the God of love is not a part-time job. and that's my job all day, no matter what else is going on. My job is to take the next most loving action. And for me, the first one is to get love into my life each morning, to invite God in and to do the best I can to be an open channel for his love. So in a few minutes here, after I get through kind of setting this up, I'll talk about, for me, meditation is the third state of consciousness. It's the one that lies between awake and asleep. It's the one where if the phone hadn't gone off, you'd have been asleep in about three more seconds, where the body is sort of out and the mind is still here but not real alert. In meditation, I can go there and stay. It's a really nice place. If you haven't been, I think you'll like it. And it's important for me to meditate in a position where my body is not flexing any muscles. If I have to sit and flex anything, it seems to block it. I can also come out of meditation by simply opening my eyes. And we're going to do some breathing exercises. I'm going to ask you to flex and relax some muscle groups. I want you to use like 20% of your strength. We're not going to honk down. There won't be a personal best. We just want to use about 20% of your strength so we can relax the muscle group is the point of it. If you happen to need to sneeze or cough while we're meditating, please feel free to sneeze or cough. We find that easier to deal with than a blue person. And if something disturbs my meditation, I think of it like a sign on a highway. It was there, and then it wasn't. And the mind wanders off, and that's okay. That's what it does. Coming out of meditation is an awakening. And we all know what it feels like to pop your eyes up and look at that alarm clock and know you had to be up 30 minutes ago and you come springing out. I don't come out of meditation that way. So we're going to come to a point here shortly where I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to keep them closed until I specifically say, now open your eyes. And we will awaken slowly. We'll move some muscle groups very slowly in the awakening. And I'm going to name a bunch of people for us to send love to. And I may name somebody you don't have. I might name brothers and sisters, and you're an only child. Pick somebody. There's not a mistake available. I may name someone that's gone to the other side. My parents are gone. And I'm convinced to the depths of my soul that they get that love I send them when I do the love meditation. So don't be bashful about sending it. If you would now, this is going to be hard for a lot of you. Darren, I know, it'd be very difficult. I'm going to give some instructions now. They're not easy, Darren, but I want you to lean on it. Your sponsor would be so proud. So if you will lean forward in your chair, bend it the waist, lean forward, and slide your buttocks as far back as they will go. And then when you sit up straight, I think you'll find you have an arch in your back, your shoulders are over your hips, and your head floats, and you don't have to flex a thing. And that's a really good meditation position. You might want to lie down on the floor. You might want to lie down on the floor and put your feet up on a chair. The 12 and 12 says it's an adventure. Work it out any way you like. Yes, sir. There you go, Jeremiah. And I think I covered everything I meant to. If you will now, please close your eyes. We've already invited God. So if you will now exhale and very slowly inhale. And blow it out. And exhale. And very slowly inhale. And blow it out again. And exhale. And very slowly inhale. And this time just release. Using about 20% of your strength, clench your jaw, press your tongue to the roof of your mouth, wrinkle up your face, and exhale. And slowly inhale. And release. Flex your neck muscles and bring your shoulders up to your ears and exhale. And slowly inhale. and release. Make fists, flex your forearms and upper arms, and exhale, and slowly inhale. And release. Flex your chest and stomach muscles. This one will be shallow. And exhale. And slowly inhale. And release. Flex your buttocks and your entire pelvic area. And exhale. And slowly inhale. And release. Flex your thighs and calves, wrinkle up your toes, and exhale. And slowly inhale. And release. A summer's day. A few puffy white clouds. Flip-flops, Bermuda shorts, a t-shirt. You're in motion, but you're sitting. You're in a vehicle. It's a bus. It's a large bus. And you're sitting on the aisle about halfway back. And the bus is full of people, and they are having a good time. They are digging and scratching and laughing and singing and just having a ball. And you look around, and you realize you know everyone on the bus. The people you see the most often, folks you live with, people you work with, members of your home group, are in your row, and they're right in front of you and right behind you. And then further on toward the front and the back are people you went to school with way back when and people that you used to live in the old neighborhood. And further on are distant relatives you only see at holidays and that kind of thing. And they're all having a good time. And looking out the window of the bus, you see a shadow of the bus. And you realize that on the roof of the bus, there are containers. There are boxes and trunks of various shapes and sizes. And in them are the things that concern you. Oh, politics and romance and finance, just the usual stuff. And they're all strapped tightly to the top of the bus in one or more of these containers, and the bus has begun to slow down. And as it slows, the noise in the bus gets less, and the bus comes to a stop, and it's dead quiet, and they're all looking at you. And you realize this is your exit. So you stand and start walking toward the front of the bus. They're patting you on the back, saying, "We're going to be fine. We'll see you later." Arriving at the front of the bus, you see one of the guardian angels is driving and says to you, "All of these people and all these things that concern you are going to be safe in my keeping while you're gone. Have a good trip." And he hits the handle and the door opens. You step off onto the curb and the door closes and the bus puts up the hill. People are hanging out the window saying, "We'll see you later. We're going to be fine." And the bus disappears over the hill and you stand alone but not lonely. Turning your back to the street, there's a path through the knee-high grass, and you begin to start to walk up a small hill, left foot, right foot, cresting the hill and starting down the other side. Staying in the path, there are rose bushes, red on your left and yellow on your right foot, left foot. And ahead of you, the enchanted forest, a beautifully safe place. And you enter it, continuing to follow the path, left foot, right foot. Off to the left, a squirrel sitting on a stump stops to watch you pass, knowing that you're both safe, left foot, right foot. And with each step, you hear the sound of moving water getting louder, and you approach a small stream. It's so clear, it is so beautiful, that you step out of your flip-flops and into the stream, and although it only washes up to ankle deep, it feels like it's cleansing your entire spirit and body. A beautiful feeling. Looking down into the bed of the stream, there are stones about the size of the first knuckle on your thumb, and they're magnificently colored stones. There are red stones for energy, and there are green stones for growth. There are blue stones for sadness and grief, without which there could be no joy. There are brown stones to remind you of the fertile earth. There are gold stones for success and joy. And there are purple stones to remind you you are the child of the greatest king, a prince or princess of the kingdom. And you deserve all beautiful things. Possibly you pick up a stone, or maybe a handful, drop them in your pocket, maybe not, but you begin to walk upstream, sloshing left foot, sloshing right foot, sloshing left foot. And with each step, the sound of moving water continues to get louder. The stream curves around to the left, and you see the beautiful pool, and on the far side, the waterfall. off to your right, a cabin. Some old folks are sitting in rocking chairs on the front porch, smiling and wave at you. Staying in ankle-deep water, moving around to the left, as far as you can see, beautiful flowers tended by magnificent butterflies. Approaching the base of the waterfall, you see a couple of steps, and you go up them left foot, right foot. And you go in and sit behind the waterfall. It's a very comfortable place, and you sit there looking through the waterfall at the beautiful scene and begin to absorb God's love. God, please help us send love to our mothers. God, please help us send love to our fathers. God, please help us send love to our grandparents. God, please help us send love to our brothers and sisters. God, please help us send love to our spouses and sweethearts. God, please help us send love to our children and grandchildren, those that we have and those that we will have. God, please help us send love to our sponsors and sponsees. God, please help us send love to our home groups. God, please help us send love to people who raise our ire, who rub our fur the wrong way. God, please help us send love to people we know who are in need of healing or in need of a gentle passage to the other side. God, please help us send love to places on planet Earth where there is fighting and anger and suffering. God, please help us send love to each other in this room. God, please help us send love to all the planet Earth. Night has fallen, and there are stars, and there are billions of stars. And they form themselves into great pinwheel clusters called galaxies. And in the Milky Way galaxy, far out on one of the spiral arms, an average star called the Sun. and on the third planet out from that sun, in the northern hemisphere, on the North American continent, in the United States, in the Deep South, in Tennessee, in the northeast corner, in Kingsport, on this campus, in this building, in this room, welcome home. Please keep your eyes closed. And each in our own way, thank God for a safe trip. Amen. Well, now begin to awaken slowly. If you'll now wiggle your fingers and stop. Now wiggle your toes and stop. Raise your hands up to your face very slowly, and using just the pads of your fingers, pat your cheeks very lightly, patting your cheeks, and now together your nose and eyelids and eyebrows, and patting your forehead and separating your hands around the sides, and patting your ears and neck, and laying your hands back down to rest. Lift your left foot, move it about an inch away from the right. Lift the right, move it about an inch away from the left. Drop your head forward and put your chin on your chest and roll around to the left and the back and around to the right and back up. And raise your hands above your head like you're signaling for a touchdown, and twist the trunk of your body and flex everything you got and cough and clear your throat. And when you think you're, and bring your arms down and give yourself a hug, you deserve one. And we're in no hurry here. But when you think you're ready, open your eyes. If you've opened them too soon, close them again. I'd like to give you a little more history. The bus ride is a gift from Miss Linda, my former wife. And the stones are a gift from her, too. We came out of meditation one morning, and she said, something new happened, that she went on the bus ride and through the woods, and instead of coming to a stream, she came to a clearing, and it had rained, and the rainbow, the base of the rainbow was in the clearing. And she walked up to it, and there was a door. And she walked in and walked up the steps and sat in the arch of the rainbow. And you heard about the colors. And a couple of years ago, I thought, I can't stand it. So I turned them into stones and put them in the stream. And I did this in a treatment center a couple of years ago. And one of the young men in there said he'd picked up a stone. And so I added that. And this thing's alive. That was 13 minutes from close your eyes to open them when you're ready. Some will think it was a whole lot longer. Some will think it was a whole lot shorter. It's funny how meditation, for me, tends to warp time. If recovery wasn't fun, I couldn't keep doing it. And I started carrying clown noses. I may talk about this tomorrow morning, but I started carrying clown noses in my car a few years ago. I live in Nashville, and I-40 comes to a stop every once in a while. And my good attitude has a tendency to come to stop at the very same moment. And what I discovered was, if I put on a clown nose and get ready with the rest of your equipment, and then I drop the window and I start blowing bubbles, come on. Let's fill a room with bubbles. I blow bubbles out the window to get the attention of the other drivers, and they see me, and they start laughing, and laughter's contagious, and I start laughing. And I'm still stuck in traffic, but my attitude is back. It's been a gift. Now let me show you a trick on bubbles. Instead of blowing straight at it, if you will turn it at a tight angle and blow hard, you get tiny bubbles. See that? Tiny bubbles. Dean Martin would be proud of those. And anyway, so I've been carrying clown noses for a long time. And apparently I didn't bring enough for everybody. But I just think that has just been, for me, the most fun. I'd like to tell you another story. I I got my first sponsee who would live when I was sober right at 3 years. And there's something that's interesting. They gave me a microphone so I can do what I want. Those of you who read the Big Book regularly know that they constantly change it. And the ones that laugh are the ones that read it. And they didn't actually change it. What happened was I read it with new eyes. And but about a year ago, they added on page 159. Yeah, 159. They're talking about Bill Wilson, Dr. Bob, and Bill Dodson, the first three AAs. They had access to a hospital full of drunks. And for someone who's new and about to start sponsoring, I think this is maybe the most important sentence in the book. It says, a year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with seven more. Those three people only succeeded with seven in a year and a half. They're not all going to make it. And it's not up to you. Jerry Crow, who was from here, by the way, was my sponsor, told me that if you take credit for the ones that make it, you're going to be stuck with a blame for the ones that don't. And some of them are going to die. And they also said, if they're ready, you can't do it wrong. If they're not ready, you can't do it right. I believe that was right. But I had my first one who would live. And I was meditating one day. I don't usually get much in meditation. I know people that they do the numbers. They can see the number 50 in smoke going away and dissipating. I could just strangle them when they say that because I'm just sitting here counting my breath most of the time. And but this particular morning, I saw, I had a vision, and I was out on the Buffalo River, which is about an hour west of Nashville. And my first sponsee, Ron, was sitting in the front of the canoe. I was in the back. We were out by the bluffs fishing for smallmouth, which was, we did a lot of that his first couple of years. And it was just this beautiful scene, these two men that loved AA, that loved God, that loved smallmouth bass and each other. Just a beautiful scene. And I could see it from my position in the back of the canoe and also from a position about 200 yards away from the port side. And suddenly my monkey mind started talking to me. And it said words to the effect of, Scott, you're out here playing on the river with Ron when you're supposed to be trying to get close to God by meditating. Believe what you like. I believe what I'm about to tell you. And I heard God's voice, and he spoke to me, and I heard it in my solar plexus. I heard it down here. This gentle, gentle, beautiful voice said to me, if you want to get close to me, work with my people. And I came up out of meditation like stepping on a rake. I could not believe that the God of forever had spoken to a turkey like me. And I, with my giant three-year chip and ego, heard I should help these poor fools who are not as far down the path as I am. It took me about a year to realize it also meant to work with those that are much further down the path than I am. I am not a skyrocket to success here. But what I've discovered is that's exactly right. If I want to get close to him, I work with you. And it doesn't matter who's where. It doesn't matter at all to get close to him. And then it occurred to me, if that channel ever opened again, and I could ask the God of forever one question and get an answer, what's my question? It took me about 6 months. I went through a bunch of them. And I... My old sponsor, we call him Rusty. At the end of his drinking, he was drinking Kool-Aid mixed with mouthwash, and he wet his pants so many times his zipper rusted shut. And we nicknamed him Rusty in honor of the zipper. But he said, I wish I knew where I was going before that. You know, to meditate, to try to get your mind to a place where there's nothing, well, here we are. He said so many, but he said we're not all crazy on the same day. And it was actually from page 57. I know where I was going, but I just didn't quite get there. At my age, the rabbit trails get more and more dangerous. And it says, what is it but a miracle of healing? The elements are simple. Circumstances made him willing to believe. He offered himself to his maker. Then he didn't say, help me. He said, take me. Take me. Even so as God restored us all to our right minds. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some wrote to him more slowly. I think maybe the most powerful promise in the book, he has come to all who have honestly sought him. That's what this meditation thing is about, is to just trying to sit quietly in his presence and just absorb and just sit quietly. I believe that part of my own personal assignment is to spread joy. I think that's it. And what's going on in my life is not significant to that. That's still what I'm supposed to do. And I was diagnosed with cancer in my throat in June of 20, and I realized very quickly what my assignment was. And it was to cheer up the people who are trying to cheer me up, because I don't need to be cheered up. I'm sitting in God's lap and I'm doing just fine, and I don't need to be cheered up. But I thank you for the attempt. And my job was to lift their spirits. So I put the clown nose on my mask, and I carry them with me all the time. I've got clown noses in my pocket all the time. And it's been a great joy. I also carry bubbles. And you can have more fun with that. You know, you'd be in the grocery store, and there's their mom there with a couple of kids. They're good kids. They're just having a hard day. And get where they can see and blow bubbles a little bit. Changes everything. They go up and ask the mom if they can have them. I give them to the mom. I don't think a stranger needs to hand the kid anything, but can the kids have them and give them? And I'm telling you, it changes my life. What I've discovered is if I'm sloshing joy all over you, it splatters onto me every time. What Rusty said was, I can't keep garbage from showing up here, but when it gets dirty up here, I can sweep. That's my responsibility. And that question, if I could ask God one question and get an answer, what is it? I have used that to sweep up here for a long time. When the garbage shows up here, that's a wonderful broom. I've had the same question for over 20 years. And I'm going to share it with you. Sometime in May, if you want to call me and tell me what your question is. But I don't want to take away from you the experience that I had of searching within myself and trying to stay within the principles to find out if I could ask this loving, laughing God of forever one question. What is it? I have the privilege of doing this with quite a few of us every year. Whenever they allow me to speak at a conference, I always ask them if they'll let me do a love meditation one morning, and they usually do. I've only had a dozen or so people call me, and all but one of them had the exact same question I've got, or close enough to call it the same. One of them was a kid who was still in treatment. He wanted to know what happened to the dinosaurs. I mean, you know, but... And I didn't get his permission to tell that. I told him I was gonna. And so I'm not responsible for what goes on up here. And I'll probably cover this tomorrow too, but I heard Sandy Beach say one time that the measure of my recovery is not whether I get off the spiritual path. We all get off the spiritual path. Even I'm talking about relapse. The measure of recovery is not whether I get off the path. The measure of my recovery is how quickly I get back on. And my experience has been, if I open my day with meditation, I can bring that back any time I need to. If I get torn up, I can step into the chapel. You know that is the men's room. And go into the stall, have a seat, and start sending love. Less than 30 seconds, and I'm right back where I need to be. I can't keep myself from getting off the path, but boy, that can bring me back on so quickly. It is such a gift for me to be able to do that. I don't think I'm going to take the group time, but I'm always curious as to what stones people picked up. And I think I'm going to go ahead and close this. Does somebody have a question about what we just did here? No? Okay, good. I think we did all right. I'd like to close with a few moments. We invited God. I think he came. think it might be real appropriate if we each in our own way thank him. If you borrowed my God and you got touched, do it again. If you invited your God and it worked for you, you might do that in that moment. I rarely do the serenity prayer starting a meeting because I've got things I have to do. I need to invite God. I need to ask him to help me not judge anyone, what they look like or what they say. Help me to please be completely present here. Help me have a closed mouth and an open mind, and my mouth only open as he would have it. I can't do that in the moment. Plus, the rattling off the serenity prayer at the speed of light doesn't do much for me, because we've been whispering it. Darren and I attend a meeting. We call it the Page 112 group in Nashville. If you don't happen to know, the first three words on page 112 are "read this book." And that's what we do. And call it to page 112. Nick is from there, too. And we whisper the serenity prayer to open the meeting. And we whisper the Lord's Prayer to close it. You know, we're the only people in the world that use the Lord's Prayer that don't think the author did a good enough job with it. We needed to add something at the end. Most of the world that uses that don't think that. And I'm with them. So what I'd like to do is let's, in our own way, thank God for coming. And then we will slowly, I say again slowly, I know you're here, slowly whisper the Lord's Prayer. And we'll have a respectful moment of silence after amen. I'll let you know when that second moment of silence is over. And I'd appreciate it. We'll just chat and so on. Let's don't do applause or anything for this. This is not an applaudable event, okay? Let's have a few moments and thank God for coming. Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless us all. Thank you, and thank you for coming. Go away. Thank you. Thank you.
You signed the top of paper one quote.
Yeah.
Watch that.
That's a popular one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. There's a lot of healing that happens on that. Yeah. Well, you're quite welcome. Let me get to that a little bit later, if I could. I think I need to hug some of these people.